I wanted to do something a little bit different this morning. It's a bit of a shorter service that we're doing. It's an all-age service. I wanted to do something a little bit different. And I've always been fascinated by and moved by these two songs that we have recorded in Luke chapter 1. The first is the song of Mary, which we'll read in just a few minutes. And the second is the song of Zechariah, which Ken just read for us. So instead of a sermon on those two passages, I've written a spoken word piece to accompany each of our readings. These pieces are a form of poetry, interweaving the beautiful language and imagery of the text itself with some of my own thoughts and prayers. And each piece, I hope, is true to the themes that are so prevalent in these songs that Luke records for us. This first spoken word is accompanied by some video footage that we shot with some of the young people on our recent weekend away. This footage was not shot for this purpose, but it has been beautifully edited together by Rosie and Jack to accompany this spoken word piece. The piece begins with the idea that Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit, and so he must speak, prophesy, even sing. And it highlights the arrival of the rising sun, who shines his heavenly light of salvation on the world. So this is a meditation on Zechariah's song. Filled with the Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing, and now to speak, to sing, to prophesy, the wonders of God coming and redeeming. Filled with the Holy Spirit, what can it mean? I cast doubt and make excuses for why God only works within my means. Filled with the Holy Spirit, how would it feel? Like a warrior gone to battle, or an athlete receiving a medal, or a bird lifted in flight, or grain crushed under the millstone's might. Seeing an angel receiving good news, but no news is good news when you're caught in uncertainty, when you're asking for a sign, when you do not believe, when the best you hope for are ancient prophecies, promises unfulfilled, salvation unreceived. But lift up my eyes, loosen my tongue, praise be to the Lord, for he has come. The dawning of hope, the anointed one, God's tender mercy, the rising sun. The horn of salvation blasts into oppression. The rod of redemption rebukes occupation. The light of forgiveness shines on our sin, dispersing the shadows of darkness within our ignorant minds, our guilt-ridden hearts, our deathly silence, our hesitant feet. When we were not worthy, undeserved and stained, hopelessly grasping at hope in our name, when enemies besieged and darkness encamped, when hate held the fuel for our flickering lamp, your love broke the bonds, your righteousness loosed the chains of our enemies and death's common noose. So enable us now, in spirit and truth, to serve without fear on a path made smooth. Our fathers remember, our mothers recall, our children rescue from this suffering world. I will make your name great. I will give you this land. I will save your children from the enemy's hand. You promised so long, long, long we waited for you to uphold your oath and our misery undo. Now lift up my eyes, loosen my tongue. Praise be to the Lord, for he has come. The dawning of hope, the anointed one, God's tender mercy, the rising sun. In a world of war, guide our feet to peace, where fears are stilled and strivings cease. Not an easy balance of silence and distance, or a polite respect of handshakes and kisses, but a wholesale renewal that we cannot imagine, a fullness established by your coming kingdom. In a world of doubt, put our faith in you, the solid rock, the unshakable foundation, the certainty of victory, the promised Messiah, the Son of God. In a world so dull, may your glory reveal the beauty in simply living with you. Relationship, covenant, faithfulness, life to the full in the knowledge of salvation. In a world of cynicism, let hope arise. Not in politics, religion, people, or institutions. Not in celebrity, potential, degrees, or relations. But in the sureness and certainty of your kingdom come. of our place in your service never undone, of a day drawing near when you wipe away tears, when you restore the land and eradicate fear, when holiness and righteousness become the norm, when these bodies take on a heavenly form. No more shadow of death, disability, or disease, only worship and praise and the reign of peace. So lift up our eyes, loosen our tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he has come. The dawning of hope, the anointed one, God's tender mercy, the rising sun. This second piece is based around Mary's response to the angel who announces to her that she will give birth to a son. Mary is important, especially in the story of Luke, because of her response to the angel's message. She dares to believe. And her words are beautiful. She says to the angel, "May your word to me be fulfilled." I love that phrase. And the words of this piece are not going to be on the screen. If any of you would like to see the words from either of these, I'd be happy to share them with you during the week. This is a meditation on Mary's song. Mary glorifies the Lord and rejoices in spirit at the strangest of circumstances when you stop to think. The good news from the angel meant suspicion and shame, at least amongst friends and family and Joseph. Mary glorifies the Lord and rejoices in spirit at an announcement impossible by anyone's standards. A child to be born not by natural descent, nor by human decision or a husband's assent. A child born of God, conceived by the Spirit, who will offer rebirth to all who receive him. Mary glorifies the Lord and rejoices in spirit, even though she is scared and alone and worried. Do not be afraid. This is good news of great joy, not only for Mary, for all, but for Mary, you who are highly favored. But who hasn't been favored when the gift to earth is the child of heaven, when the salvation of humanity is the embodiment of divinity? We call her blessed because she submitted her will. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary isn't special. She isn't the daughter of high standing, the sister of importance, the wife of influence, just a young woman, engaged to be married, but not to a king, pregnant, a virgin, expecting the king, special because she was chosen and believed. The first believer in this story, so Elizabeth says, blessed is she who has believed. She, not the priest who doubts in old age. She, not the carpenter who quietly contemplates divorce. She, now the mother of the Messiah. She, now the representative of daughter Zion, the real deposit on the promises to Abraham, the humble servant for servant Israel. Just a young woman, but such a faith example, may your word to her be fulfilled. To her a child is born, to her a son is given, to us a savior, to us a counselor, to us a prince. And the government and the throne and peace and justice and righteousness will be on his shoulders. And yet there will be nothing in his appearance to attract us. No beauty, no majesty, rather despised and rejected. I have a son. He doesn't look like Mary's, not especially in character or skin color or ancestry. No, Mary's son looked much more like those fleeing Syria. Those from a region that knows not peace, nor justice, or unity, or hope of release. Mary's son looked more like people we reject and hate than the blonde hair and fair skin of my son. But my son and my daughter, and every son and every daughter, and every mother and every father needs Mary's son, the Holy One, the Son of God, Jesus. So bring down the mountains of the rich, lift up the valleys of the poor, fill the hungry, starve the full, satisfy us with mercy, remove our revenge, beat our swords into plowshares, Mold our vitriol into jars of compassion. Scatter our pride like seeds that die. Reap a harvest of humility from the ends of the earth and give us new birth in the way of life. Holy One, give us faith ever still. Help us now to submit our will. May your word to us be fulfilled.